Welcome back to Copper Country Today, heard Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock on 97.7 The Wolf, 8 o'clock on 1400 AM, 99.3 FM WCCY, and 9 o'clock on KBR 102.3. Our program is brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, proud supporters of the Copper Country Humane Society and the Keweenaw Spay and Neuter Assistance Group. You can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at KeweenawReport.com. I'd like to thank my guests in the first segment, Kim Stoker and Sherry Lynn Lampinen, to talk about the Regional Prosperity Initiative. But now in the second segment, I'll be speaking with members of the Youth Advisory Council from the Keweenaw Community Foundation. And in studio, I have Elise Cheney Makins, Daniel Gershenson, and Lindsay Sandell. Thank you guys for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
Alrighty. I guess we can call it YAC. I guess that's the acronym for it. Tell everybody what YAC is.
YAC, we're part of the Keweenaw Community Foundation, as you said, and we're basically the youth branch. And our main goal as YAC members is to provide money to local youth-serving organizations and also to perform many service projects throughout the year to benefit youth.
Lindsay, tell us a little bit about why you're a member or why you decided to become a member.
Well, I really like YAC because instead of dedicating our time and meetings to plan fundraisers so we can help, we have the money already from the grants, so we spend most of our meetings directly helping the kids in need.
And Daniel, what are some of the things that made you want to join the YAC?
I really like YAC because, unlike some of the other organizations, you really get to see exactly what you're doing. You get to choose what programs you're going to sponsor for the youth in the future, and you know exactly where all the money goes.
And Lisa, I guess you can answer the same question too.
You get to really see, like, a direct impact on the youth and the community, and it feels great helping, like, out kids that I know that wouldn't have opportunities otherwise, and I know that the money that we're spending is just making a huge difference in the community.
Okay, let's get to the Youth Needs Survey, and from what I understand, there was a good turnout for that?
Yep, so far we've had 550 responses, and we're expecting more. And the Youth Needs Survey is basically just a survey that we hand out to kids in grades 7 through 12. And basically we're trying to find out what is important to youth in the community so we know how best to spend the money that we're given to grant.
And in terms of, what schools were involved?
Oh, so we have Jeffers, Hancock, Chassel, Dollar Bay, Lake Linden, Hubble, and Houghton. So between all those, three years ago, we distributed the survey and we had about 1,000 responses. So this year we're hoping for even more.
And in terms of the responses, what were some of the questions?
The questions just talk about what students feel is affecting youth the most, and some of the options are like poverty or lack of things to do outside of school. And so then we can get a really good picture of what students feel they need more of in the community, so we know exactly what to help them with.
So is this a survey that the kids are actually filling? This isn't something where they're taking it home to their parents?
Okay. They do it in school.
So you said like over 500 responses. Any idea what are some of the things that really stuck out?
No, we haven't looked at the results yet, but we'll be getting them out in January, and they'll be posted on the Keweenaw Community Foundation website, so people who are applying for grants in the future can see exactly what students feel are the biggest issues facing the community.
I mean, for you personally, I mean, what are some of the things, or what is something maybe you expect a lot of people, or even you personally, what are some of the things, the issues that you see, in the community that need to be taken care of?
I think one of the biggest issues is, like, lack of things to do outside of school and, like, lack of constructive things to do. And, like, boredom can lead to lots of destructive behaviors, so that's one of the things we're trying to remedy through our grants. And also, I think that students today are facing a lot of pressure about bullying and anxiety. So that's also one of the things that our grants try to combat.
Any of you guys want to comment on that? What is something that, I mean, that you guys think is just a really big issue in the area?
I agree. I really think boredom can influence other kids to focus their energies elsewhere that could mm-hmm. be negative for themselves and for others, even including bullying others and turning to drugs or alcohol.
Yeah, just some things that are just, they'll end up on the streets, like most people say.
Exactly.
And so one of the more important parts of your guys' job is the grant-making process. And talk a little bit about that, Daniel, about the grant-making process that you guys do. Is it something like that you had to get, like, any kind of training for?
No, we don't have any kind of training in particular, but the way it works is the Kellogg's Foundation gives us about $27,000 each year. We split it up into two granting cycles. We do one of them in the winter and one of them in the fall. And so this year we gave some money to a whole bunch of different programs. I think we gave about 10 grants out.
Mm-hmm.
We did a whole bunch of things. We did the Winter Skills Adventure Program for Dial Help. They take some at-risk youth and they go on a retreat for a day or two. We did the Reach for the Sky talent show. We've given money to this before also. They put on a talent show, and then after they do that, they use all of the proceeds and they give that to another charity.
Mm-hmm.
Another one we did was the Copper Country HOSA trip. So all the students in the student nursing program, they go down to a competition, and a lot of people weren't able to compete last year because they didn't have enough money for transportation, so we're trying to fix that this year.
So basically, if anyone needs any kind of funding, I mean, what's the best way? Is it just to give a phone call, or?
No. Organizations submit grants to us
mm-hmm.
over the period. We'll give, like, about 2 months for them to write and submit grants, and then we'll take a couple weeks to, they can come and present to us in person, and we'll review their grants and we'll judge and give to the top few.
In terms of the judging, I mean, do you know, what are you looking for in terms, I mean, do you, I don't want to say do you turn down a lot of them, but for the most part, most of them do get accepted, but like, what are you looking for when you judge an application?
We're trying to see what kinds of people it's going to help. Does it go along with what we found in the Youth Needs Survey?
Mm-hmm.
And we're just trying to see what people would like to do, and we try to fit the grants to that.
All right, and then this past week, the holiday book drive for UP Kids, and Lindsay, I guess you can tell us how that went.
Our book drive ends tomorrow, but so far our results are really good, are really great. We wanted to benefit the youth in our area who are involved with UP Kids, so it's been good.
And in terms of, like, I mean, the books, I mean, are we talking about, you know, just smaller books, bigger books, like just anything that people could donate pretty much?
We are looking for all books from, I guess, any appropriate genre for youth ranging ages 6 through 17.
Mm-hmm. Where were you guys collecting the books?
We have drop-off locations set up throughout the county, at including our schools, mm-hmm. our school offices, the Portage Lake District Library, Northwind Bookstore, and also the Michigan Tech Bookstore.
And then the books, they're going to be sent out pretty soon?
On Monday, we will bring the books from our drop-off locations to UP Kids.
So in terms of the turnout, I mean, was it a good turnout? Did you like how the turnout was?
So far, what I've seen, it's good. It's really good. at the Portage Lake District Library, our box was overflowing, and an extra box was put in place, and that overflowed as well. Like, so we have more than what we were expecting there.
So let's jump to another topic, and it was the video contests, and it's I guess Elise, if you can just talk about what it is exactly.
Well, every year in the spring we host a video contest, and the video contest that we change the topic every year. In the past, it's been address cyberbullying, stress and anxiety, and driving safely. And this year, our topic is coping with teen grief. And this came, we worked with a professional at Omega House. And I think that teen grief is something that isn't really addressed in the community right now, and maybe something that people don't really like think about as much. So we wanted to raise awareness for this by including it in our video contest.
So in terms of contests, what are the rules, basically?
Basically, we asked students in grades 6 through 12 to submit a 3 to 5 minute video that addresses the topic of the year. And the videos have ranged from like students acting it out, or they make presentations. Mm-hmm. So it can really be anything. But and then we bring in a panel of judges that judge the videos. And then the videos that win, there's a prize for winning for first through third place. And then the videos that win are also posted on the Kiwanis Community Foundation website.
And in terms of so how long have you been seeing the videos? Probably for the last couple of years?
Yeah.
How have you seen them differently, basically? How have they been getting better each year? It seems like the videos end up getting better.
The videos are always really good. They always look professional. But I definitely think that there's a lot more interest that's gathered over time for the video contest.
And this is just for the students 6 through 12?
Yeah.
And in terms of maybe other topics, would probably be something like you hit on, probably just the stuff that's not addressed,
yeah.
The stuff that you guys talked about earlier?
Yeah, we want students to be speaking to other students in the community about what they're facing, and maybe that will help students reach out more.
And the bully backfire game. It seems like maybe in the last 5 years, there's just been a lot of just a push against bullying. So, what is the bully backfire game?
Well, the bully backfire game is basically a giant candy land, and the questions, we have cards, and we read the questions to students, and they're basically the pawns in the game, and they can move around the giant candy land board. But all the questions address bullying issues, and we do play the game with fourth graders because we really want to hit bullying early and mm-hmm. address it early. And normally elementary school isn't really our target group, but we think that it's more important to address bullying in elementary school rather than later in middle school or high school, so students can really understand how crucial this issue is early.
And in terms of the game itself, I mean, it's something that people can go play anytime, or is it a certain kind of
year? No, we set up meetings with the school where we do it.
Oh, okay. It's basically with schools all over the community?
Yeah.
I mean, when you see some of the kids, in the middle of this game, what's their reaction?
I think they have a lot of fun with it, but some of the cards ask questions compliment your friends, and it's kind of sad to see some of the kids that really struggle with those questions, but we also know that they're learning, and it's a lot of fun to see them learning how to be better friends.
How important is it, the Youth Advisory Council, how important is it to have something like that in a community like this that's so close-knit, basically everyone knows everybody? How important is it to have this, and what would you say to somebody who would want to join?
I think that the Youth Advisory Council is a great addition to our community, and they have it actually in a lot of communities all over the state. But from going to the philanthropy camp every summer, or last summer, I got to meet students in other YACs, and I don't think that they knew, like, as much about their community as we do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we have, like, a great advantage here where we can really help give back to the community because we are so close-knit.
And anyone else, if you wanted to get someone else to join, what would you guys basically, what's the selling point to get them to join YAC?
It's just like a really great experience to see the change that you can make in the community.
And if somebody wanted to join, what's some contact information there, who they can get into contact with?
Well, all the information for joining YAC is on the website, CUNYCommunityFoundation.org/youth. And they can also contact the CUNY Community Foundation by phone.
And is there a certain the time of the year that you guys do registration, or can you just sign up?
No, we accept applications all year. The application is really short and painless, and we welcome all new members.
Excellent. Well, that'll wrap up this segment of Copper Country Today. Elise, Daniel, and Lindsay, thank you guys so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
And now that we have a couple of minutes at the end of the program, I thought it'd be a good idea to check in with a very, very special person coming straight from the North Pole right now, Santa Claus. Mr. Santa Claus, how are you doing this holiday season?
Oh, Sam, I tell you, it's busy, busy, busy up here in the North Pole.
How is it? I know that it's heating up a little bit over here in the Copper Country, but we had to deal with a lot of early snow. How is the temperature up in the North Pole right now?
Well, remarkably similar things happened to us. We had real cold weather in November, and it's warmed up slightly, but we've still got plenty of snow, and I'm counting on there still being plenty of snow in the Copper Country when I come down in a few weeks also.
Now, I know there's just so much work to be done, and a lot of that work seems to fall on the elves. Have they been staying busy?
Oh, they've been working overtime. This is their very busiest season, so they're really working hard to check who's been naughty and nice and what toys are being asked for and requested and what the packing and delivery schedule is to get everything out on Christmas Eve.
So you talked a little bit about the just with seeing what's being picked. I mean, and for the year 2014, what are some of the requests you've been getting from the children all around the world?
Well, what's satisfying in a lot of ways is a lot of the old standbys are there, dolls and dollhouses and toy guns and, you know, some of the bigger things too, like asking for skis or snowshoes or snowmobiles even. That's maybe a little elaborate, but we'll do our best.
And when you get, do you ever get some of the parents, maybe they bring their kids, they put them on your lap, and then they take them off, and maybe they whisper to you and give you a nudge at something they might want for Christmas?
Oh, I'll confess that there's been some hint of that. And yes, you know, even with parents, we're lucky that they still feel the spirit of Santa Claus as well.
And it seems in the last 10 years, there's just been this huge technology boom just with these, you know, these phones, and it seems like everything can be right there in the palm of your hands. Has that hurt or maybe helped you in terms of gathering all the things that people request on Christmas?
Well, it's a very intensive effort to try to roll it all up, and there does have to be some screening and sorting that goes on, but all of the new technology really is helping. And, of course, one of the big ways it helps is when we get our report from parents and grandparents as to who's been extra nice or maybe who's not been as good as they should have been.
What is, you know, now that I think about it, what is the strangest thing someone has asked you for Christmas?
Oh, you know, I had a young man one time come in when everybody else was outside watching a presentation out in the center court. And he said to me, he said, "Santa, I want to ask you for something special." for Christmas. And I said, well, okay, I'll try. And he said, my grandpa died last year, and on Christmas Eve, I'd like to see him one more time. And I thought, wow.
Wow. That is amazing.
And I looked at him and I said, well, you know, death is forever, and even Santa Claus can't change that. But do you have a picture of your grandpa? He said, yes. And I said, well, if you get that picture out on Christmas Eve and sit quietly for a little bit, you're going to feel your grandpa's spirit there with you. So that was a real heartwarming one to have to process.
In terms of, just having to get everything ready, I know the lists, the packaging, and all that. How do you get yourself ready physically, or maybe you and the reindeer, for that matter? How do you get you guys physically ready to travel and drop off all of the presents?
Well, we've got a lot of exercise routines we have to go through. We practice rapid descent, short distance landings and takeoffs to get on and off the roofs like that. I've got a special thing in my suit that lets me shimmy down chimneys real well, and even houses that may not have chimneys, I have special ways to get in and out real quick and leave my packages. So a lot of practice with that. And of course, you know, the reindeers, we have to have them practice eating carrots and celery that young people leave out. And of course, I have to practice eating a few cookies and drinking some milk to be ready. But that gets me in pretty good shape.
What do you hope to see from people this holiday season? A lot of people are going to be traveling. A lot of people are going to be being there with their families. But what do you hope to see from people once they're together with friends and families this holiday weekend?
I hope that we will see joy and happiness and a celebration of all the different things that the holiday season means to so many different people in so many different ways from so many different traditions. A celebration of family, togetherness, warmth, happiness, a little bit of joy. Times to remember those who may not be with families at that time, but a wondrous season. That's what I hope people get.
And finally, just because, I mean, there's so many questions that kids ask, and maybe when they get older, and they, you always have that one kid maybe in the small schools that says, well, Santa Claus isn't real. What do you have to say to the people who doubt the spirit of Saint Nick?
Well, I emphasize just that point, that the spirit of Santa Claus is what's important, whether or not they believe Santa Claus exists in flesh and bone someplace. If they believe in the spirit of Santa Claus and the spirit of the joyous holiday season, I think they find pleasure and peace and satisfaction that can last them all through the year, I hope.
Santa Claus, thank you so much. I know you're busy right now. Have a wonderful and happy Christmas.
Well, thank you, Sam. Merry Christmas to everybody in the Copper Country, and I've got to get back to work. Okay!
Our program is brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, proud supporters of the Copper Country Humane Society and the Keweenaw Spay and Neuter Assistance Group. You can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at QNRReport.com. Join us again next week for another edition of Copper Country Today.